As I said, kia ora, good to see you. And it is wonderful to be here with you this morning. Welcome to you all. If I can add my welcome to Genesis. Let me lead us in prayer. We're going to look at that passage from Colossians. Heavenly Father, thank you that your word is a lamp and a light. Thank you that you speak to us today. Help us to continue to hear what you're saying by your Spirit. Help us not to stray away from what you've said by your Spirit before, but to keep hearing these words as they speak to us now. We pray that in Jesus' name. Amen. A supplement. A supplement. A supplement is something that you add to supply a deficiency, according to the dictionary. In other words, a supplement is something you add to what you already have, and the supplement makes up for what's missing. That's what food supplements and vitamin supplements do. They add what's missing to your diet to help you to be healthy, or in some cases, to help you be huge and muscular like me. Do you need a supplement? And I haven't become a salesperson for bodybuilding supplements or health products. I don't mean that kind of supplement. I mean, do you need a supplement in your Christianity, in your life as a Christian? Or if you're someone who's not a Christian here this morning, welcome. It's wonderful that you're here. Do you need a supplement in life? Do you need something more? It seems like the Colossians, the people that this reading was first written to, it seems that they were being offered a supplement in their lives. And particularly they were being offered religious supplements for their Christian lives, their lives as followers of Jesus. Perhaps faith in Jesus Christ had become a bit ho-hum. They might have been Christians for some years when they got this letter from Paul. Perhaps the initial novelty of following Jesus and the wonder of that had worn off a bit. Perhaps they weren't growing as much as they hoped they would. Perhaps they were finding the troubles of life that they'd hoped would go away when they followed Jesus. Perhaps those troubles were still lingering. Indeed, perhaps they were still falling into trouble themselves, into sin, into doing things they knew weren't right. There were besetting temptations that just stayed with them and didn't go away. And even though they'd been told they were wrong, they still struggle with them. Well, maybe I need something else. Whatever the case, it seems someone was offering them supplements that were apparently attractive to them to supplement their lives in Christ. Paul, the apostle who wrote this letter, had heard about this, and at this point in this letter, he turns to address this issue directly. The section that we just read of this letter, that Edna read for us, follows closely from what we heard last week. You see at the start there, it's at the bottom of page 1183, if you've got the blue Bibles. At the very start, verse 16, under the heading Freedom from Human Rules, little number 16, it begins with the word, therefore. Therefore. And that means, based on what has come before, I'm going to say this to you. So based on what we saw last week, those of us who were here last week saw about Christ's fullness and the fullness of Christ's work. Based on that, Paul goes on to speak of these two kinds, I think, of supplement that were being offered. Two things that they were being told they needed more of to supplement what they already had. And you can see that Paul doesn't think these supplements are a good idea at all. So the first one is this, more good. More good. That is, they were being told they needed to do more good stuff. They were actually, it seems, being shown ways to do this extra good stuff to supplement their religious lives. Look at verse 16 with me. Therefore, do not let anyone judge you by what you eat and drink, what you eat or drink, or with regard to religious festival, a new moon celebration, or a Sabbath day. This was a supplement of rules. It seems from what Paul's saying here that someone was coming and saying something like, you need to do more good stuff, to watch what you eat and drink. That's not just about a healthy lifestyle or becoming ripped and muscular like me, as I said. No, this is about religious observance of food and drink, and most likely to do with observance of certain food laws, which were very common in a number of different religions at that time. They still are today. It may have been Jewish food laws that were at least partly in mind Because the next bit about religious festivals, new moons and Sabbath days, that's very strongly got a Jewish religious law sound to it. There are various rules in the Old Testament about keeping certain festivals, certain days, and these words come up in this very much in that form in a couple of places in the Old Testament. And it seems that someone had come to the Colossian Christians, who were most probably, most of them, not from a Jewish background, and said, "Oh, it's good that you follow Jesus, that's good. But if you want to be really spiritual, really right with God, you need to keep these rules as well. You need this supplement." And it seems like this rule keeping had become quite serious. Down in verse 21, Paul sums up what they were saying, maybe with a bit of exaggeration to make his point, but sums it up. "Do not handle, do not taste, do not touch." They were serious about these rules, about the supplement of doing good things, more good religious stuff. And at one level, I think you can understand it. If you're struggling with your failures and you just can't quite seem to overcome that besetting sin, that thing that you struggle with all the time, and you fall into it again and again, and you're struggling with it. Or if life as a Christian just seems kind of mediocre, and it's not supposed to be mediocre, surely it's supposed to be better than this. And then someone comes along with a very impressive sounding set of rules to live by. Things to, if you do this, it'll lift you to a higher level. Boxes you can tick so you can feel good about yourself when you do them. You can say to God, "Look, I've done this for you, Lord. I'm serious about you. I'm living the victorious life, Lord." That could be pretty attractive, can't it? But actually, this more good is not good. This whole supplement of keeping rules, Paul says it's actually going backwards. Look at verse 17 again. We're over on page, top of page 1184 now. Verse 17. "These are a shadow of the things that were to come. The reality, however, is found in Christ." Paul says this is going back to living in the shadows. These rules, the ones that come from the Old Testament particularly, the ones about special days and festivals, they were pointing forward to something. They were pointing forward to the coming of Jesus, the great festival of his arrival, and the rest that he would ultimately bring. And having a day of rest after Jesus is a good thing. Taking time to spend with God's people is a good thing. But if you treat it like a rule you have to keep to supplement your access to God or your rightness with God, it will just send you back to the shadows. It's like going on a holiday trip to Hanmer Springs and you're driving up the main road and you see that turn off to Hanmer. And so you see that turn off and you pull over and set up your tent next to the sign because the sign says Hanmer that way. And you are good. So you set up your tent next to the sign. Well, you've completely missed the point. You're not supposed to stop at the sign. You're supposed to follow the sign to where it's pointing you. In the same way, those Old Testament rules were in large part pointing us to Jesus. And if we stop at the rules, we're missing the point that we're supposed to focus in on him. Besides, as Paul says in verse 22 to 23, these kind of rules don't ultimately work. They might help for a while. They might make you look good if you keep them and people see you. In the end, that just creates another problem of pride. But in the end, they don't stop you from sinning in the deepest way. As he says at the end of verse 23, at the very end of that bit that Edna read, they lack any value in restraining sensual indulgence. Ultimately, lack any ultimate value. So much for more good. That supplement doesn't work. It's dangerous. And many of us may be thinking, quite right, we're not about rules. This is Christianity, it's not about rules. A lot of people seem to think that. But that makes this other supplement that Paul talks about very interesting. It's more spirituality. To talk about more good, more doing more good religious stuff, more rules. Now, more spirituality. Paul seems to be thinking that whoever was offering these religious supplements not only offered rules, but also a supplement of spiritual experience. Look at verse 18 with me. Do not let anyone who delights in false humility and the worship of angels disqualify you. Such a person also goes into great detail about what they have seen. They're puffed up with idle notions by their unspiritual mind. Here's this idea of the great spiritual experience. These people could speak of the wonderful visions they've seen, the worship of angels. Down in verse 23, it looks like they might have been connected up as well with harsh treatment of the body, maybe fasting or other harsh treatment, perhaps to bring on those visions. They could probably offer special spiritual techniques and methods that would supplement your faith in Christ and bring you closer to God, bring you to a higher level. And you can understand the appeal of that sort of spiritual experience, can't you? Because we do want to feel closer to God, don't we? We want to rise above the everyday stuff of life to something more surpassing, more transcendent. And so this person's offering a supplement of more spirituality. But actually, it's not spiritual enough. It's striking here how something that sounds so spiritual, visions, angels, all of that kind of thing, how Paul calls it worldly, fleshly, unspiritual. Now look at the end of verse 18 with me at what he says. So from kind of halfway through verse 18. They are puffed up with idle notions by their unspiritual mind. Literally, that unspiritual mind is the mind of the flesh. It's a very strong statement about this great, apparently very spiritual stuff. But he says, it's just the mind of the flesh. And he carries on with the heart of the diagnosis, verse 19. They've lost connection with the head, from whom the whole body, supported and held together by its ligaments and sinews, grows as God causes it to grow. See, this hyper-spirituality is not God's spirituality, because it's taken the focus off Christ and put it on other things. It's worth remembering that. Just because something seems very spiritual, something seems very spiritual or impressive spiritually, doesn't mean that it's from God. Just because someone can explain things spiritually doesn't mean it's in line with what the scriptures teach and Jesus shows us through that. Just because someone can show great spiritual experience doesn't mean that that is a God thing. This supplement of more spirituality isn't the real thing either. The rules wasn't, neither is this. See, Paul is showing us here the problem with supplements. All of this thinking that we need supplements to bring us closer to God or to make us more right with God, all of that is still thinking in the old kind of way, in the way of the world, forgetting something absolutely vital, which Paul says to us in verse 20. Verse 20, he says, "You died with Christ." When Christ died, in a mysterious but vitally important sense, we died with him. We saw this a little bit last week. And especially here, Paul goes on, "You died with Christ to the elemental spiritual forces of this world." Again, we saw the phrase "elemental spiritual forces of this world" last week, back in verse 8. And it is a tricky phrase, but it seems to be referring to forces in charge of this world at some spiritual level. But in a way, exactly what it's referring to and the nature of those forces doesn't matter too much, because the key words here are "this world." See, whatever forces there are of this world, we're now dead to them. When Christ died, he defeated them. We definitely saw that last week. And seeing as we in some way died with him, they have no power over us anymore. Remember, they've been made a spectacle of, according to verse 15. See, the forces of this world only have power over you when you're alive. Any force or ruler or power only has power over when you're alive. Once you're dead, they can't do anything to you anymore. And if we trust in Christ, we're dead to the forces of this world. They have no ultimate power. Even if they kill us, Christ will raise us to life again at the resurrection. They have no ultimate power. We now belong to Christ completely. And we have him completely. We have full, complete access to God in him. And complete security in him eternally. That nothing can ever separate us from God's love, which we know in him. As verse 17 said, he is the reality that the shadow of the Old Testament rules was pointing to. And we know him. We know the reality. Verse 19 said, he is the head, the source of the true growth from God, the only source of true spiritual growth, and we're connected to him. It's like we have the ultimate backstage pass. We have direct access to the star of the show, direct access to the ruler of the universe, direct access to the true source of growth. So if you are someone who trusts in Jesus Christ, do you need a supplement? No. Not if you have Christ. If you have him, you already have the fullness, the complete article. You don't need a supplement to fill up any lack because there's no lack in Christ. I know sometimes our feelings tell us something else. Our feelings tell us lots of things that aren't right. Sometimes, as we think things through, we think, I can't have everything in Christ. Sometimes our thinking is wrong. If we have Christ, we don't lack anything. And can I say, if you don't have Christ yet, and you do want access to the God of the universe, to forgiveness, to God's love and acceptance, to true growth, all you need is Christ. And you can come to him today. And then you can be sure you'll have complete acceptance from God. If you have Christ, you don't need a supplement. And finally, I do want us just to see the difference now. With that in mind, all that in mind, I want us to see the difference between straws and supplements. Straws and supplements. A straw is something that helps you drink from Christ's fullness. It isn't adding anything to Christ. It's just helping you draw deeply from him, to connect to him more, to focus on him more. But a supplement is something you need in addition to Christ. It's like an extra thing with the meal, as if Christ were not enough. And here's the tricky thing. Sometimes things that are good straws can morph into being supplements if we think about them the wrong way. I'll try to show you some examples. For instance, Bible reading. You might have noticed I'm quite big on Bible reading. I read the Bible each day or regularly. I push that a lot. And that's because it is a great straw. It connects you to Christ. It's his word and the true record of his message. We can trust it. Whenever people go outside of that message and have to go other places to kind of make their points, you get a question because this is the true record of his message. You get to see here the reality of Christ. You understand him more deeply. In that way, Bible reading is a great straw, and regular Bible reading is a great straw to connect you to Christ. But at the point where you think you have to read your Bible to make you right with God, that if you've read your Bible today, God's happy with you. But if you forget, then you're not really close to God anymore. Well, then it's become like a supplement. And that's not what it's supposed to be. It's not supposed to be a chain. It's supposed to be access to the fullness of God in Jesus. Treat the Bible like a straw, not like a supplement. Practices of prayer is another one. If certain ways or techniques or sort of times or whatever help you to pray, help you to connect with Christ and focus on him in that way and to feel connected to him, that's great. That's wonderful. That's a straw. It's helping you to connect to him and focus on him. That's fantastic. But the second someone says that a certain prayer technique opens up Christ to you in a new way, or just do this and it'll bring you to a spiritual level beyond a normal Christian, then it's become a supplement. It's not right. Prayer is a straw. It's not supposed to be a supplement. Music's another one close to my heart. I love music. I love church music. I love it because it can help us remember the wonderful truths of the gospel. It can turn your mind and your heart back to Christ and the great things that he has done. It can be a wonderful straw. But if someone says this type of music or that type of music or this musical experience brings the presence of Christ closer or brings us into the presence of God, or this sort of music or this experience brings the Spirit closer to us, no, it does not. It doesn't, because at that point it's become a supplement. We don't need a supplement. Christ has already brought us fully into the presence of God through his death and resurrection. Music may, and often does, help us remember that. May bring our minds and our hearts back towards that. But it can't bring us closer to God, because we're already as close as we can possibly be to him through Christ. What about church attendance? Or taking communion, or traditional forms of church? They can all be great straws, helping us to be fed on the truths of Christ from Scripture, helping remind us of Christ and what he has done. Wonderful. Many of them have been honed over many years, some of the traditional forms, to make them really faithful to that. That's great. But if we think we must have these things, we must come to church in order for God to accept us this week, or we must have communion to be really close to God, or that we must be part of a certain church tradition or a denomination to be really truly connected to God, well, then it's become a supplement and it's leading us astray. You don't need a supplement if you are joined to Christ by trusting in him. Christ has done all he could ever need to do to bring us to God. We forget this so very, very easily. It's hard to remember it sometimes. We forget it so easily. The great reformer John Calvin spoke about this in his commentary on Colossians in a way that I think is helpful. He talks about the monastic traditions. Monks, again, intended to be a straw, something to help people connect to Christ and help the community around connect to Christ. But he says how within 100 years of Paul writing this letter to the Colossians, already some of the monastic traditions were adding certain rules and certain spiritual supplements to what you had to do to bring you closer to God. They're saying, well, you have to do that. If you do this, then you'll be truly close to God. And Calvin says, it's as though Paul had never spoken a word. He goes on, the zeal of men for superstition is surpassingly mad, which could not be restrained by so plain a declaration of God. Surpassingly mad. I think he's right. See, we so easily forget the fullness that we have in Christ, and we go looking for supplements instead of drinking in Christ more deeply. The world takes our eyes off Christ. Our sin and our desires and different things take our eyes off Christ and make us feel like we have to have something else to overcome this. But we don't. We have the one who died for us. We are included in his death now, and more, as we'll see next week. We're made alive with him too, raised to life with him, truly spiritually alive. So when you feel like you need something more than Christ because you're not good enough or you're not spiritual enough, what you actually need is to more clearly see and feel what you already have, who you belong to, and how fully he has saved you, and how he is the source of all growth. You need to fix your eyes on him again. Keep going back to him. Because if you have Christ, you don't need a supplement. Let me lead us in prayer. Heavenly Father, it is so hard to remember that when we have Christ, we don't need a supplement. In our weakness, in our failure, in our boredom, so often we feel that we need something more. This can't be it. And yet, we have access to all the fullness of Christ. And these supplements, these things that we have to think we have to do on the side or extra experiences we have to have, they so easily lead us away from Christ and trusting in him. Please help us, Father, to find many straws, many things that will help us connect to Christ in his fullness, But please help us to be so weary of thinking we need more than Christ or something in addition to him. Help us to turn our faces to him again. And in your mercy, open our hearts once more to see who we are in him, what we have in him, how wonderful that is. We pray you'd bless us with this by your Spirit for your glory's sake. Amen.